This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome to the latest edition of Tiger Cast. As always, you can subscribe to Tiger Cast through iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Once you subscribe, you'll get each week's edition of Tiger Cast downloaded directly to your phone or listening device. You can also get updates, the Hoops Hour from Henderson, post-game recaps as we did through the football season, and more directly to your device. Again, search Princeton Tigers. On today's Tiger Cast, we will have Pete Miller, the senior forward of the men's basketball team from Hawaii, as the Tigers completed a 1-1 run through the Pearl Harbor Invitational last night with a victory over Hawaii. And then we will have Chris Ayers, the head coach of the Princeton wrestling team, as they've had really a pretty wild, pretty exciting first month of the season. And then they will compete twice this weekend, including their home opener. We'll talk about both teams a little bit more in a second. First, a quick look at what's going on. One of the final kind of busy weekends before the holidays. Not a ton going on at home, but a couple of events to watch out for, mostly on the ice, a little bit on the mat. Starts Friday, the men's hockey team takes on one of the top teams in the nation, Quinnipiac. I believe a national finalist last year. They will play Quinnipiac Friday at home at 7 p.m. That's the start of a home-and-home series. Those two are travel partners in the ECAC. Also Friday, the swimming and diving teams will compete for the final time in 2016. They'll both be at Columbia, the women at 3, men at 7. Wrestling is at 7 o'clock at Lehigh. More on them for our interview with Chris Ayers. On Saturday, home events in the afternoon, 1 o'clock, wrestling against Binghamton. 2 o'clock, women's ice hockey against Mercyhurst. The women's basketball team, which has gotten back to the 500 mark after a tough start, although considering how young they were, it's incredible how quickly they've turned things around. They'll play at Fordham at 2 o'clock. The men's basketball team is at Liberty at 2 o'clock, that game on the Big South Network and ESPN3. And then the men's ice hockey team at Quinnipiac at 4. On Sunday, Mercyhurst, the second game for women's hockey, they'll play at 1. Track and field hosts the New Year's Invitational. And then next Tuesday, before our next podcast, men's ice hockey will host UMass at 7 p.m. So a few events here and there. A lot of hockey over the next week. So get out to Baker Rink. Just a great place to watch a game. Okay, let's get to our interviews. We'll start with Pete Miller. This interview done by my co-worker Cody Cruchel. He traveled out to Hawaii along with Andrew Borders for the Pearl Harbor Invitational. A really exciting opportunity for this team if you followed some of the videos on GoPrincetonTigers.com. I mean, obviously the chance to play two nationally televised games on Fox Sports 1 against California and Hawaii, but also just the opportunity to experience Hawaii and, during the 75th anniversary of the tragedy of Pearl Harbor, to be there to, meet somebody who was, in Pearl Harbor that day and just to kind of get a sense of just what an event, what a tragic event for our country and to be part of honoring the men and women who served and who lost their lives that day. Great opportunity for these young men. And like I said, an opportunity to play a couple more games. A 1-1 trip for the Tigers. Right there with Cal Tuesday night. A couple shots not going in late. And then Cal makes a little run. And Cal's got a top maybe 15 draft pick on their team, and Ivan Rabb. So he kind of, his presence down low, I think, certainly made a difference late in that game. But the Tigers bounced back nicely Wednesday, their win over Hawaii, and then they'll play Sunday at Liberty. This interview was done in between the Cal and Hawaii games, and you can hear now from Pete Miller.
Here in Hawaii, the Tigers, the men's basketball program, playing in the Pearl Harbor Invitational, joined now by senior forward Pete Miller. And Pete, this has been a tremendous experience for you guys, a mix of a lot of fun, a lot of basketball, and then also a lot of history in commemoration of this week being the 75th anniversary of the attacks on Pearl Harbor. What's this experience been like for you?
It's unlike any other experience I think any of us have ever had. Obviously, getting to help commemorate the 75th anniversary of such a historic day in American history, and getting to meet so many of the armed forces who really protect our freedom and do much, as much as they possibly can, their human power to allow us to play the game that we love.
Let's talk about a couple of really unique experiences you guys have had out at the Joint Base, where you guys have been practicing and you guys have been playing, but you had a chance to tour the USS Arizona Memorial. What did you feel? What was it like being out there and being surrounded by that kind of history?
It was breathtaking. I kept trying to visualize what it would be like to actually be on that day, December 7th, 1941, while we were standing on the memorial and seeing all of these Japanese bombers coming by. And it made no sense in my head to see what kind of experiences these veterans and these survivors had ever, you know, come through. And just being on there, being able to listen to all the history that happened on that ship was truly incredible. And being able to experience with my teammates was even better.
And then that night, set up by Fox Sports, who put on this tournament and who put on and is hosting this Pearl Harbor Invitational basketball event, dinner and that opening night reception on the aircraft carrier, the USS Stennis. I can't imagine that too many of these guys have done anything like that.
I certainly haven't. I don't know if any of other guys have either, but that was really cool. Fox Sports put together an incredible event. We got to, you know, meet a lot of armed forces, meet with the other teams too, and then tour a really big and really incredible aircraft and see things that none of us had ever seen before.
And then the next day, you guys had about an hour and a half to talk to military personnel, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. They had a parking lot at the Air Force base full of vehicles, not necessarily designed for guys that are your height.
No, not at all. I actually tried to fit into one of the choppers, and my knees were up in my head, and it wasn't too comfortable. But, you know, those are the circumstances and living surroundings that these guys have to go through every day. So, you know, they're not as tall as some of us are, but even so, it's not the most comfortable quarters, and they put up with it. So there's no reason for us to complain about anything.
And then the last non-basketball activity you guys did here in Honolulu, Tuesday night, you guys took in a luau, sort of a traditional Hawaiian party. A lot of hula dancing. Give me the scouting report on some of your teammates' moves.
I'll tell you, Michael Blank, best hula dancer I've seen in a while. He's clearly practiced it in his life, probably in his bedroom by himself. Spencer Weiss, not too bad either. You know, he always had a big grin on his face. Would like to see more out of Chris Mongili, though. He struggled out there.
Yeah, really just kind of stoic.
You know, he couldn't stay serious, or he'd keep laughing, and he'd dance for 3 seconds and then laugh for another five. You're putting on a show. You can't be weak to the crowd.
The Arena Block Arena, built over 75 years ago, certainly a cozy venue, low ceilings, 4,000, they squeeze them in there. A little bit hot, a little bit humid, but certainly a unique venue to play in.
Yeah, I mean, it was hot, and, you know, it was much different than anything we've experienced, but at the same time, it was by far the coolest place I've ever played. Just getting to look around, and you see all the armed servicemen that protect our country watching a game and cheering on for us was remarkable, and I'd never give up that experience for anything else.
I know it's kind of tough to say because you guys are still out here and you still have a game to play, but what do you think is going to be the most lasting memory when you get back home to Princeton after that game at Liberty on Saturday and you look back at this trip? What's going to stand out?
I mean, obviously we came here to win two basketball games, but I think it's a learning experience more than anything. Getting to just speak with armed servicemen, to me, was the most important. These are the people that defend our freedom and defend our country and let us play the game that we love. And getting to see their experience, get their perspective on the things that they do day in and day out was remarkable, and I'll never trade that for anything.
Now we'll turn our attention to the Princeton wrestling team and head coach Chris Ayers, who is now in his second decade of coaching the Tigers. And what an incredible job he's done with this program. They enter this 2016-17 season with an All-American in Brett Harner, with one of the nation's most exciting freshmen in Matthew Kolodzic, who's got a really big match Friday night. You know, and a team that broke into the top 25 a couple weeks ago. They dropped out of that after a two-point loss to Drexel. But, you know, you look at what this team's already been through this season. You know, a match in front of 16,000 fans against Rutgers, two at Madison Square Garden, nationally ranked opponents in Rutgers and Nebraska, and You know, it's they've been tested early and often. They've kind of dealt with some early injuries, which I think, you know, you expect during a wrestling season. You know, but this team is certainly on the rise, and now this weekend, Friday night at Lehigh, as you know, probably just one of the nation's most impressive, you know, all annually one of the top programs, one of the toughest places to win. Nobody knows that better than Chris Ayers, who wrestled at Lehigh. And then the Tigers will be home against Binghamton at 1 o'clock on Saturday. That you can watch on the Ivy League Digital Network. A lot of opportunities for this Princeton team this weekend and then moving forward. Harner at 197 is in the top 10. Kolodzic is 10-0 this year at 141. He's number 4 in the country. And on Friday night at Lehigh, he'll wrestle the third-ranked wrestler in the country in Randy Cruz. So big opportunity there for Kolodzic and for this Tiger team too. Again, when you keep facing top competition like this, like a Lehigh team, you know, you give yourself the opportunity to really make a statement, to earn a statement victory. And that's their opportunity this weekend. And then a chance to kind of thrill the home fans with one against Binghamton. Let's hear now from Chris Ayers.
Chris, month in now, let's start with Kolodzic, because, you know, he had a lot of hype coming in, and he certainly lived up to it. I mean, you saw him train plenty, you saw him in high school, but, like, is there anything surprised you even this month watching him compete?
Yeah, he's a total winner. Just in some of the situations he's been in some real tough situations. Out of anyone on the team, it's funny, too. He's had the toughest run of ranked guys. It's pretty much like every guy he's wrestled is ranked, and he just finds ways to win. This weekend was incredible in that the Nebraska kid kind of found a way to make the match close when it really didn't need to. He had a quick escape and a takedown, caught Matthew off guard, which made the match closer than it was. And then, you know, Matthew gets into overtime and just wins. So, yeah, he's a winner for sure. And not really surprised. We knew he could be great. But, yeah, he's just plugging away.
The Ashnault match, you know, had a lot of attention that day. And that was such a big day for your program. I know team-wise, you know, you didn't get the result you wanted. But that match in particular, I think anybody who had questions about Kolodzic got him answered that day.
Yeah, that was a great match. And you put a true freshman in that environment and 16,000 people. It's the second biggest dual meet in the history of NCAA wrestling. And you got, like I said, a freshman versus a guy who took third in the country last year. And, you know, he finds a way to get the job done. Incredible composure. Again, the kid, he just knows how to win.
Team-wise, you know, you're 3-3 going into this weekend, another tough weekend. I mean, you've loaded the schedule as you've done the last few years. You know, has it surprised you at all? I know injuries have played a factor, but has it really been just kind of a mix of good and bad so far in terms of team progress?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, we just, in the office, we looked historically. I take notes on the training plan and what happens each weekend, and these past 3 years prior, I have almost the exact same notes. Didn't wrestle well. I don't know what's up. The two weekends prior to these weekends, it's wrestled great. They did a good job. So I think a lot of it, I hate to point to this, but I think a lot of the academic stress is building now. It's getting towards the end of the semester. So a little bit of focus is lost. But we have to regain that this weekend and kind of refocus. And we changed some things up, so I'm feeling pretty good going into this weekend with the adjustments we made.
Let's talk about a couple more individual guys before we get to the weekend. Harner, All-American, wrestled at the All-Star Classic, you know, and looked, I thought, terrific in that match against the number two guy in the country. Had a couple of you know, losses to guys who are ranked now, but you know, what have you seen so far in Brett?
Yeah, Brett made those guys ranked because they beat him and then they get ranked. This is typical Brett, I hate to say it. He's not great at this time of year. A year ago, it was the Navy match. And he's great in tournaments, and this time of year is not his best time of year. So basically, we're working through it and trying to identify and say, hey, look, don't get rattled by all this stuff. It's not a big deal. Refocus, get back on task. Let's focus on the things you can control in matches, because he's not doing the right things in matches. I think he's just trying to get to the end with a W, and he's not doing the things within the match that get the W. So he's basically wishing matches away and just wanting to get his hand raised, and in the time he's just not wrestling well. He's looked good this week, so we'll see if he pulls out of it. He's pretty good at rebounding, though. I mean, in the past seasons, if you have the bad losses he had at this time of year last year, didn't affect him later on. He's pretty good at recovering from some setbacks.
His classmate, Jordan Laster, had one of your best wins of the season against Samato of Drexel, but he's kind of had a couple of close losses there. You know, in talking to you, you're pretty honest with me about matches that he just didn't wrestle well and matches that he did and just didn't get the victory. And it seems like Laster's wrestled, you've been happy with the way he's wrestled.
He's wrestled great. And I tell this to everyone on the team. It's like, I don't really care about the wins and losses. It's like you go out there and you perform to your best, and effort is everything. And he's been great this year. You know, if you go down to his losses, he got basically caught at Southern, whatever that thing was called, the Southeast Open. You know, he wrestles that kid again. He wrestles him great. I mean, literally out-wrestled him, and tactically just got beat a little bit. The refs might have helped on a couple of situations. I'm not going to blame it on them, but he definitely didn't get the calls. And then this past weekend, he beat Samato, and this kid he wrestled from Nebraska. He's kind of a new guy. We didn't know much about him, but he took him down a couple times early. So Jordan was chasing him, and then the kid was good. He scored a couple more takedowns, and it wasn't like Jordan checked out of the match or something. It was like he was trying to win, and the guy took advantage of him. I feel completely fine with where Jordan Laster is right now. He's next to Kolodzic, he's competing probably the best of all our guys.
You get two big ones this weekend. Friday night at Lehigh, your alma mater. Your team has taken some tough losses there. I mean, a lot of teams have taken tough losses there. But if you look at some matchups, you know, there's the potential for some really interesting matches. Certainly at 141, where two of the top five guys in the country.
Three versus four.
Yeah. What is it? What do you tell your guys going into that environment? I assume having been at Rutgers, having been at the Garden, that helps, but this is different.
It is different. It's a tough environment. None of these guys have wrestled here either. So I think it was either 5 or 6 years ago we wrestled in Grace Hall. It was probably one of the worst matches I was ever involved in, but it was a totally different team as well. The beautiful thing about our team right now is we dropped a bad match to Drexel for sure. Even Nebraska was a bad match. We could, if we wrestled well, we could have beaten Nebraska. I mean, there was enough matches for us to win where we could have won. Lehigh's the same way. We can win 6 matches against Lehigh. So we have to find a way to win those matches, but we don't tell the guys that, and they're probably going to hear this podcast, but whatever. but basically, each guy's got their own individual job, and that's what we focus on, who they're wrestling, what they need to do well. Even our training plan is individualized right now, with some guys are doing different things. So it's really not a group thing. The message to the group, though, is you got to wrestle for 7 minutes in this environment. You're going to be wrestling 2 people here. It's going to be your opponent, and then the crowd at this place is unrelenting. So you have to keep composure. You just got to keep doing the things that you know will lead you to good things happening, basically. Whether it's a win or a loss, whatever, we need good wrestling the whole time.
And then Saturday afternoon, you get Binghamton, your home opener, and you know, a good team in Binghamton, but also an opportunity for you guys to get in front of your home crowd. And I know you've talked about kind of the excitement that's building around this program, especially with what's happened over the last 10 months, you know, the All-American, the match at Rutgers, Kolodzic start. Like, how different does it feel? You're 10 years in now. Yeah. Like, how different is this program and these fans where it was?
It's a lot different, and I wish that our performances, you know, with this team have indicated what we're capable of. I mean, this past weekend coming out of that, even Rutgers, it's a 5-5 split, but I'm disappointed completely and how we performed, I think that was a total winnable match. As was Drexel, we should have, you know, they wrestled us tough, but it's tough to take that. But the thing is, we do have a great team. Things have been building. We promote really hard. Tomorrow I'm going to, you know, the middle school here at Princeton. I'm teaching wrestling to gym classes, handing out posters, telling them to come to the match on Saturday. So it's a huge push. I think within the campus community, too, we're starting to get a little bit of a buzz just because we're doing big things. I mean, we competed in front of 16,000 people. That's huge for any Princeton team. And we're trying to create these opportunities for our guys and to promote our sport and our team. And we need to pull these people into our matches, too. And I think that's going to happen. We're really one of our mottos this year among the group, among the staff, in terms of promotion, is like, let's get the community in. And so we're doing a lot of stuff to try to pull people in and make Princeton wrestling like Princeton sport. So we'll see what happens.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.